Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Do you remember the good night, sleep tight nursery rhyme? Good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. Wake up bright in the morning light to do what's right with all your might. Actually, all I ever remembered was the part about the bed bugs. What a thing to say to a little kid before bedtime. As if adapting to healthcare reform and worrying about infections and other hospital hazards weren't challenging enough, patients in hospitals are increasingly scratching at another problem: bed bugs. There's one thing on which top entomologists agree: the current bed bug infestation has not yet reached its peak in the United States. According to experts, the current surge in the United States bed bug infestations began around 2004, but didn't hit the national news until 2010. The percentage of exterminators dealing with bed bugs in nursing homes has almost doubled since 2010 to 46%. Bedbug experts also report seeing them in ambulances. And a new study from Penn Medicine epidemiologists that look at 4 years of bedbug reports to the city of Philadelphia found that infestations have been increasing and were at their highest in August and lowest in February, suggesting perhaps some warm weather seasonal activity. While bed bugs have not been found to transmit infections to humans, they leave itchy bites after feeding on people's blood, which can lead to secondary infections when victims scratch, opening themselves up to bacteria. And this is especially problematic in hospitals, where there is a greater likelihood of catching the highly potent and contagious staph infection known as MRSA. The high incidence of bed bugs in nursing homes is also concerning, because hospitals receive many transfers from such facilities. However, here are some other known places where we can encounter these pests. One of the worst offenders? Hotels. Next, college dorms, schools and daycare centers, office buildings, buses, trains, taxis, movie theaters, and have you thought about airplanes? The unpleasant surprise? The biggest jumps were seen in hospitals, schools and daycare centers, taxis, and public transportation. A bed bug infestation is like a leaky pipe, which if not fixed can quickly spread wider damage. Two breeding bed bugs can quickly breed and multiply, leading to 22 bed bugs and 130 eggs in 16 days, 162 bed bugs and 200 eggs in 31 days, 304 bed bugs and 1,040 eggs in 60 days. In order for there to be effective bed bug treatment, you need to eliminate 100% of the insects, as a single pregnant female can start the problem all over again. Couple that with the hundreds of people flocking in and out of a hospital, both as patients and as visitors, who may have recently come from an infested location such as an airplane or a hotel, and you can see how difficult this problem is to manage. Bed bug elimination is similar to trying to remove a moving needle in a haystack. Their small size enables them to hide deep in cracks and crevices on any item. For example, there are 7 places for bed bugs to hide on one wooden hanger. Can you imagine that? And bed bugs can hide inside the head of a screw. Now think of ambulance rides and emergency rooms. A hospital in Richmond, Virginia, temporarily closed its emergency room after staff discovered that a patient had bed bugs. So think about it. When a team of paramedics or medical technicians respond to a call requesting emergency assistance at someone's home, their focus is on the patient's safety and survival. They're not thinking about bed bugs. However, as bed bug infestations continue to spread, Emergency response teams are becoming more at risk of encountering bedbugs while in the process of caring for and transporting patients to the hospital. In an infested home, emergency response personnel run the risk of picking up bedbugs on their clothing and equipment. Patient transport vehicles like ambulances and even helicopters may also become contaminated with bedbugs if the patients have bedbugs on their clothing, linens, or in their personal belongings. And once arriving at the emergency room, bedbugs have the potential to spread within the facilities if they are not immediately contained. Now, here's a few bedbug facts to help you identify and understand these tiny suckers. First, what does a bite look like? Well, keep in mind, some people will not experience a reaction to a bite at all. Those that do experience symptoms of a bite are likely to experience one or more of the following: a bite with a red swollen area and a dark red center, bites in a line or group together in a small area, or blisters or hives at the bite's site. Bites can happen anywhere on the body, but they most commonly occur on areas of skin that are exposed while sleeping, such as the face, arms, legs, and hands. Now, what does a bed bug look like? Well, everything starts to look like a bed bug if you start to worry about them. An adult bed bug is about the size and shape of an apple seed, flattened and brown. Immature bed bugs have a similar appearance to adults, with the smallest being the size of a head of a pin, and they are nocturnal and tend to shy from light. So they are up at night when you are not. They are considered hitchhikers, hiding in personal belongings such as pillows, clothing, luggage, bags, and so on, and they're carried from one area to another. An infestation does not necessarily require a soft, plump mattress, chair, or a sofa. According to the Mayo Clinic, bugs can also live in carpeting, peeling paint, and wallpaper, and even under light switch plates or electrical outlets. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, bed bugs can travel up to 100 feet in the night from their original hiding place. And let me just throw in this little factoid, because I never heard of this before. Some pest control companies even have bed bug sniffing dogs to detect infestation. Now, I didn't think that bed bugs had a smell, but get this. When a group of bed bugs gets disturbed, you may get a whiff of an odor, which is similar to the odor stink bugs give off, or they have a smell similar to the spice or herb coriander. So what can be done? Well, before you or a loved one settles into your hospital room, check for bed bugs. Look at the mattress and the pillows. Look at the seams and at zippers and underneath the mattress tag. That sounds like a little secret hiding place. And look not only for the bugs themselves, look for any dark red stains. Check the linens. And speaking of linens, that is one of the reasons I strongly suggest not to bring your favorite pillow or blanket with you. I encourage everyone to buy a cheap pillow prior to a hospital stay. Stash it in a closet until you need it. Bring it with you to the hospital to avoid using hospital pillows, which sometimes stay in circulation for 2 years and can not only harbor bed bugs, but dangerous bacteria as well. Then when you leave the pillow behind as a parting gift. And upon checkout from the hospital, do not bring anything home with you. Just as a precaution, double bag any clothing you may have initially brought in and launder it in very hot water and a dryer. This is a good idea, not only because of the potential of bed bugs, but also other lingering bugs, so to speak, such as MRSA, C. diff, or other goodies. Now, as a visitor or a family member, here are a few tips. When you go to visit, make sure that your clothing is as simple as possible. Avoid shirts with buttons and pockets. Avoid pants with cuffs, cargo pockets, and multiple zippers. Simple shoes that can be thrown in a hot dryer and that have minimal tread are also recommended. I guess if you really want to get crazy, wear those paper shoe covers while in the hospital and toss them out before entering your car or home. Might not be a bad idea to avoid the germs and bacteria on the dirty hospital floors. Then plastic bag your belongings and your purse and keep them away from the bed or other soft fabrics, such as seat covers. And when you get home, wash your clothes and anything else that's washable in hot water. A hot dryer will also kill bed bugs, so dry anything you don't want to wash. A temperature of 120 degrees Fahrenheit will kill both adult bed bugs and their eggs. When it comes to bed bug treatment, extreme temperatures, both high and low, are effective for getting rid of bed bugs without the use of traditional bed bug spray type pesticides. Radiant heat, Steam heat and freezing bed bugs are examples of physical elimination. When my mom was in the hospital for 4 months, I actually had designated hospital clothes that I washed and dried daily, leaving my shoes outside, not only with bed bugs in mind, but also with infectious bacteria such as MRSA and C. diff. Even in doctor's offices and other waiting rooms with cushioned and fabric seats, I prefer to stand than risk sitting in a potentially infested seat. Recently, I was at the DMV, and the fabric-covered seats were filthy to the eye. No thanks. I'll stand. Now, if you do bring home bed bugs, the bad news is they multiply quickly, so the best way to get rid of them is to act fast and be thorough. Several companies are coming to the rescue with products designed to protect against bed bugs in transit. A company called Cover Your Seats, invented by a New York entrepreneur fed up with worrying about bed bugs at the movies, has something called bug-off seat covers that are light, stretchable plastic covers that are easy to slip over airplane or movie theater seats. They're light and packable and provide a bug-proof layer between the upholstery and you. You could accomplish the same thing by bringing a box of Saran wrap and encasing your seat in plastic. But that would be a bit weird, even for me. Several other companies, BedGuard and Seat Defender, have also jumped into this market, and I think they're priced at about $2.99 a seat cover, so that's not a big investment. Now, I tell you this not to make you all itchy and bugged out. You're still more likely to catch other kinds of bugs in the hospital, meaning bacteria, than you are to get bed bugs. And they aren't a medical emergency the way other complications would be. However, who wants to compound a stressful hospital stay with this pernicious side effect? My point today is to make you aware of the potential to encounter bed bugs just about anywhere people gather, and that hospitals are not immune. Feel free to ask about bed bugs before settling into your hospital room. Have a family member do an investigative check around your room. Be mindful when you go home about these sneaky hitchhikers. Bring your own throwaway pillow from home and leave it behind. And try to get a good night's sleep. As they say, nighty night. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I'd love you to be a part of my world. It's a world filled with amazing people, interesting and engaging ideas, all related to the preservation of this great planet of ours. We interview people from all over the world about topics that I know will interest you. And we educate people in fun, informative ways and inspire them to take small steps so that together we can make a big impact. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977, or visit her website, mrsgreensworld.com.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit AgeWYZ.com, and that's spelled AgeWYZ. Or give her a call, 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129.
This is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. Coming up this Saturday, some frogs and dogs don't mix. Find out which ones on this week's show. Plus, a heartwarming story about a dog that saved a fireman. Please join my canine co-host, the Doggy Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggydiva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's right. If you want to learn more about how to keep your pets safe and happy, tune into my favorite pet show, The Doggy Diva Show, found at our very own speakuptalkradio.com or visit doggydiva.com.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, back to the show.
Well, we are covering some odd territory today as I move from bed bugs to cars. Last week, we had to get a new car because our previous lease had come due. And when the gentleman from the dealership delivered the car to our home, I decided to test the levels of radiation within the car before accepting it. Now, if you know me, you know that I am concerned about the constant ratcheting up of man-made microwave frequencies within our environment and their health effects. I own two handheld meters, one to measure the electromagnetic frequencies, EMFs, given off by electrical appliances and other devices, and one for radiation frequencies, RF, or microwave radiation given off by cell phones, cell towers, microwave ovens, baby monitors, decked phones, and the like. Two different types of frequencies require two different kinds of meters. So I sat in the car, turned on the engine, turned on my RF meter, the one that detects microwave radiation, and blast! The meter was screaming, with readings pulsing in the red zone, constant, blasting, screaming. So right now, I'm going to address only the radiation-emitting gadgets on a car that you can do something about. Now, you can't do much about the engine or the battery or the host of other goodies that give off electrical frequencies, which, by the way, are extremely harmful to your health as well. I just want you to be aware that a car really is not a safe place to spend time. I mean, being that it is metal, these frequencies have no place to escape, and they continue to bounce around and around in you, through you. Not good. Let's, however, concentrate on the wireless applications that are becoming very abundant in today's technological world. People are now moving more than ever and doing more things while being mobile. In the United States, a large majority of those who need to be connected at all times are going from one place to another, obviously in a vehicle. Therefore, the best place to expand wireless technology is to the automobile. There are three different categories of wireless technologies that are deployed in automobiles today. They are, number one, safety, number two, mobile connections, and number three, for entertainment. Now, some of the wireless safety applications include backup sensors to warn the driver of obstacles when they're backing up, adaptive or smart cruise control that can slow down or speed up without driver intervention. Then the mobile connection applications include integrated cell phones that can interface with another cell phone and use its phone book to place calls or to map an address on an integrated GPS system. And then finally, some of the entertainment applications are being revised from the traditional AM and FM radio frequencies to digital satellite radio that allow for a wider selection of genres as well as commercial-free programming. Now, the segment of wireless applications that is devoted to safety is becoming a profitable sector in the automotive industry. Road assistance programs have become a standard part of the ownership experience of any vehicle on the road today, where owners can call an 800 number and be connected with service advisors who can summon aid to your location, call for a tow truck, make an appointment at your local dealership, and much more. However, these services were not available at all if a phone was not accessible, and in the case of an accident or an injury, no one would know where the problem was unless someone saw the incident occur. And furthermore, if you locked your keys in your vehicle or if a mysterious hazard light came on, you would have to call a locksmith or take the vehicle to a dealer for expensive diagnostic tests and repairs. Well, General Motors changed the world of roadside assistance forever with the introduction of the world's first remote roadside assistance system called OnStar, and that was in the late 1990s. The term roadside assistance describes the system that allows the user to contact someone who can help them, regardless of their location or the availability of a phone. Utilizing a set of sophisticated sensors and transponders, as well as standard global positioning system, that's what GPS stands for, technology, OnStar keeps drivers and passengers only a button push away from whatever help they may need. Now, from a technical perspective, the OnStar system has two main parts. These parts are the Advanced Automotive Crash Notification System and the OnStar module, which includes a GPS receiver, which calculates your current location using GPS satellites, and a cellular antenna, the RF transmitter, which sends the location through the ubiquitous wireless phone network. And nowadays, these two components can be squeezed into the size of a AAA battery. Despite its use of a traditional cellular antenna to place a call for help, OnStar boasts a coverage area that meets, and in some cases exceeds, the coverage area of major cellular networks. And it's worth noting that when a call is placed from a vehicle, your vehicle essentially functions like one giant cellular phone. So there you have it. OnStar is emitting microwave radiation all over you. And I'm not even going to get into the whole surveillance aspect or the fact that OnStar sells your whereabouts information to third parties. It's bad enough that you're getting zapped just by sitting in your car. Well, now, another serious source of microwave radiation in your car is Bluetooth. Bluetooth, it's a conglomerate of electronic equipment to make its own connections without the hassle or the limitation of using wires or cables or any direct action from you as the user. This can range from computers to cell phones to keyboards to even a headset. First of all, it's wireless, so when you travel, you don't have to worry about carrying a multitude of cables, wires, and attachments with you just to connect your devices while you're in the car. The salesman at the dealership told me that it, like OnStar, is a safety feature. You can now drive and talk on the phone without using your hands to hold the phone, he said. Woohoo! Yeah, like that's safe. If you ask me, people should not be allowed to operate motor vehicles while doing anything else, including talking on the phone, which is clearly distracting. But back to Bluetooth. Bluetooth, these devices operate in the 2.45 gigahertz frequency ranges. Other devices that currently operate in this range as well include such devices such as cordless phones, baby monitors, and garage door openers. And unless you have a meter to test these frequencies, perhaps this means nothing to you, but once you test for yourself, it makes the invisible visible, and you will never view these things as harmless anymore. If you don't know about the health dangers associated with wireless devices, there's much information out there, but here's just a tiny bit of info. For example, researchers at Finland's Radiation and Nuclear Safety Authority found that 1 hour of cell phone radiation can cause cells in blood vessel walls to shrink, allowing potentially harmful substances into the blood to then leak into the brain. The two-year study also found that repeated exposure to cell phone radiation could make the blood-brain barrier more permeable, leading to increased brain damage. And repeated occurrences of these events on a daily basis over a long period of time could become a health hazard due to possible accumulation of brain tissue damage. And actually, there are many non-telecom industry-funded studies that conclude that exposure to cell phone radiation can affect the brain in harmful ways. Remember that classic, "This is your brain on drugs" commercial with the egg frying in a pan? Well, if you soon see "This is your brain on cell phones" clip, don't say I didn't warn you. Cell phone radiation may slowly be sauteing your noodles, finds a new research publishing in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So this research is everywhere. Using a first-of-its-kind technique for measuring electromagnetic radiation, researchers found the radio frequency field generated by your cell phone causes brain tissue to heat up. This then proves that your brain is absorbing radiation from your cell. A study author, David Gultkin, PhD, a researcher at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, recently told menshealth.com. In fact, the World Health Organization has classified radio frequency fields as possibly carcinogenic, meaning exposure may put you at a greater risk for brain cancer. And this comes after the Interphone study that found that using cell phones for as little as 30 minutes per day resulted in a 40% increased risk for a type of brain tumor called glioma. And as I said, this is not the first study indicating cell phones could eventually cause serious health problems. Scientists have found that electromagnetic radiation causes a release of calcium ions from tissues, resulting in health damage. Well, now back to cars. The most vulnerable to radiation levels in a car is the person in the driver's seat. The longer the drive, the greater the health risks. For example, if you sit next to a GPS or a Bluetooth transmitter, your exposure will be higher. So what can you do? Well, here's what I did. I sent the car back to the dealership and asked for the service department to uninstall, that's right, disconnect both OnStar and Bluetooth. You cannot simply call OnStar and ask them to disable the service. I tried that, but the radiation persisted. You have to completely disconnect them from your vehicle. And it's no big deal. They did this within minutes, and when I turned on the meter, voila, no radiation at all. I mean, do I really need OnStar? I don't. First, I don't travel to remote places in the dark by myself. If the car breaks down or if there is an accident, there will be plenty of people around me to use their cell phones to summon for help. Do I need Bluetooth to chitter-chatter with Aunt Sally about what I'm going to eat for lunch while I'm driving? No. I can drive without talking and without mindless, distracting pseudo-conversation. I mean, just because someone tells you it's a safety feature doesn't mean it's safe. Weigh the amount of time you're in a car blasting your brain with microwave radiation that cannot escape the metal framework versus the remote chance you may need roadside assistance. Consider the source who's telling you this. The car salesman who A, either doesn't know, B, either doesn't care, and 3, is getting paid because you buy the car. It just doesn't make sense to me. So there you have it. A mini look at what's going on inside your car that could make you sick. And a solution, get yourself a handheld meter to make the invisible visible. Where can you do that? Visit the website speakupandstayalive.com and click on the link that says EMF safety right at the top of the page. Speakupandstayalive.com. There you will find 2 meters, 2 choices that I highly recommend that are the best value out there today. And when you use the code SPEAKUP, we'll send you a copy of my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, for free. Now, the only reason I decided to offer these meters on the website is to give you an easy resource toward a solution. I would feel badly to lay out the problem and not offer a solution. And I've done the research for myself and for my health, and I simply feel obligated as a caring human being to share my findings with you. You know, I say this often, but things are seldom what they seem. And just because an industry wants to tout their goods as being safe and benevolent, convenient and fun, does not make it so. Perhaps if more people challenged the auto industry and demanded features that didn't damage health, well, they'd have to comply. And that is exactly what I did during my most recent vehicle transaction. Now the salesman knows about the truth of what he is purporting. The manager knows, the finance guy knows, the service department knows. And that's how change happens, by speaking up, by demanding sanity, by refusing to accept that which is not beneficial to your well-being. Do they think I'm a lunatic? I don't know, and I don't care. But somewhere in the back of their minds, perhaps I will persist, and that's all I can do. I hope you can persist with me. And with that, safe driving to you. Right now, it's time for our weekly author spotlight, a favorite segment of the program where I tease you with a sneak peek into a recent author interview. If you love to read, you'll find plenty of fresh and fabulous authors at our very own radio network, speakuptalkradio.com. So take a listen, then head to the website to hear the entire 30-minute interview. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. So, let's take a listen. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Now, if you've ever asked these questions, where do I start with fitness and fat loss? Where can I find honest fitness and weight loss advice that works? You are in the right place, because right now I have a fitness coach turned fitness author with me. He is James Atkinson. Known to his readers and friends as Jim, he is from the UK and has helped thousands of people change their lives through his fitness books. He has been in the fitness game for well over 20 years, achieving some impressive fitness goals, from fat loss and general fitness to long-distance running and endurance training, all the way to bodybuilding competition. Jim has also served a number of years in the British Army as an airborne soldier in the Unit 9 Parachute Squadron Royal Engineers. He has written 6 fitness books that have achieved bestseller status on Amazon, and he loves to help the beginner to fitness take all of those important steps in the right direction. He is also noted to say, "I'd love to be with you at the start of your fitness journey, be by your side when you cross the finish line, and be the first to congratulate you on your achievements." He also makes a point of writing and advising from his personal experience with no gimmicks or fads. It's all honest and real advice that works. And I know we can all use a boost when it comes to improving our fitness. So welcome to the network, Jim.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I have to make a confession to you. What attracted me to you the most was your bloopers video on your website.
Okay, it wasn't my stunning good looks then.
I tell you what, it was awesome. It was filled with your head shaking and expletives. And I thought, you know what? There's nothing like sharing honesty and foolishness with strangers whom you're trying to get to do business with you. So I had extreme respect for you for that.
Oh, that's excellent. That is, because one of the things I saw when I got the invite was, oh, she mustn't have seen that video because it was terrible, you know?
Oh, no, that's what I liked most about you so far. So that just tells you who you're talking to today, right?
Yeah, great.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, you say, "I am a normal guy who has average at best genetics and below average when it comes to academic prowess. So I would like to inspire anyone who thinks that they can't to want to take steps in believing that they can." And you say that, "I believe my personal fitness journey has been the deciding factor that has made me believe that I can." So why don't you begin today by sharing your journey with us?
Yeah, that's a good place to start. Well, when I was young, I was never really blessed with genetics, as I've already said, and I was never athletic, and I'd always want to be better than I was, and it was a shame really, because I always liked watching the rugby on the TV, and I always wanted to be just like Arnold, you know, big superhero, but I never could be. So when I first started getting into fitness to build up muscles, basically, and everything I've learned from there has been a transferable skill, I would say, into everything else that I've done, because it wasn't easy, and I won't say it's easy for anyone who's starting on their fitness journey, but one of the biggest takeaways from my experience was that whenever you get knocked down or you come to a challenge, you just have to keep going forward and going forward again, and eventually you will get those results. And that's pretty much what I did. I mean, I've never been good at anything, but eventually I got good at something, and that was fitness, and that was the first thing that I actually excelled in the end.
That's actually a life lesson. I mean, not just fitness, but anything that you want to become good at or something you work hard at, eventually you can accomplish it. So I think it's very inspiring as well. You say that your target audience is for someone that has never had a real fitness results. And your first book, The Fitness and Exercise Motivation Book, is the place to start. So why don't you tell us about that book?
Most people, when they say, I want to lose some weight, lose a few pounds, or I want to run a marathon, or even get into bodybuilding or something like that, or just generally lose weight and become fit, the first thing they'll do is go to the gym, you know, or go for a run. But the way I look at things is that if you're going to go on a journey, you have to know where you're going. You don't just get in your car and just drive aimlessly. You'll say, oh, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to, you know, drive to the gym, let's say. You know that that's your destination. So what you really need to do is have a destination in mind when it comes to your fitness journey. So rather than just going out for a run, deciding that you want to lose a bit of extra few pounds and going for a run, you'll say, right, I'm going to go for a run as the fifth thing that I'm going to, the fifth step of my journey. And the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to plan and get a mindset, get a destination, and then work through it that way. And most people miss out this fundamental foundation of the planning and the mindset, because fitness, to me, and I know this is true because I've been there, is 90% a mental struggle and 10% a physical struggle. And it's keeping up with it, keeping up consistency over time and making the small changes and making sure you stick to your path and your journey and going for the right destination. So that's what this book's all about, my fitness and exercise motivation. And it's to build the solid foundation that everybody needs to get their great fitness results.
And it's that focus on mindset and building a solid foundation that ensures fitness success that most people skip. Or as you're speaking, I think people just aren't aware of that. They do exactly what you said. I'm going to lose a couple pounds. They start running around and go to the gym. But what's the goal? And it's like anything, building a house, you have to have a foundation. So your book helps with that.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, for instance, if I'd sat on the sofa for 30 years, I didn't know anything about fitness. This is why I always say this, and I think it's a great analogy. And I always say that if I'd sat on the sofa for 30 years, done absolutely nothing, but I know what I know now, I would start with the information in this book, and then I would head off after that, and I'd know exactly what to do after that. So, you know, that's the way I look at it.
Here's a million-dollar question. Why is it so difficult for people to begin a fitness program and, secondly, to stick with it? We talked about mindset, but how do we get that mindset?
This is the thing. It's I think straight away one of the biggest things that people lack is being positive. I've known people all my life, and I'm sure you do, and everyone else that's listening to this will know someone that they speak to, and everything they say is negative, negative. Mm-hmm. And with that kind of attitude, how are you ever supposed to be positive, you know? And being positive is a major part of a fitness journey and getting fitness results. So I would always say, from the start, work on your positivity. And one of the things I have in the book is actually, I've made a chart in there, and And one of the things in there is to say, this week I have had these five positive experiences. And even if you've had a terrible week, there's always something you can always find a positive in that terrible week. And I think that is probably the first thing you need to do. I mean, a lot of people might think, I've got nothing to do with fitness. But I can tell you that has. If you can get a positive mindset and you can work on that and build it, you will start to build mental robustness, which also will carry you through and help you when it is hard to get out in the rain and go for your cardio or something like that. You know, that's just an example.
So you're saying that positivity in all aspects of our life, if we can improve the way we look at things and come up with a more positive outlook, that will obviously then translate and help us with our fitness program?
Definitely, yeah. I totally agree with that, yeah. And like I said before, everything that I've had, like I've written six fitness books, and that was all because without without my experience in the fitness world, I truly believe that I wouldn't have been able to sit down, focus, and write a single book, let alone six. I truly think that is one of the big fundamentals that you need to work on.
Well then, as we begin to wrap up, we want to send folks to your website, gymshealthandmuscle.com. Any final words of advice before we say goodbye?
If you want to start fitness, get a goal and get a plan and stick with it. And if you ever need any help, give me a shout and drop me an email, jim@gymshealthandmuscle.com, and I'm always happy to help out. If you get stuck with anything, I'll help out where I can.
Well, good. We appreciate that. jimshealthandmuscle.com. Jim, what a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you so much for sharing you and all of your tips with us. I hope that everyone listening gets a little bit more fit after today's program.
Thanks for the invite as well.
I hope you enjoyed today's featured author. And to listen to the entire interview, head over to speakuptalkradio.com, where you'll find not only today's author, but over 100 additional writers with plenty of quality books to share with you. That's speakuptalkradio.com. Hi, I'm Pat Rulo, author, speaker, and radio host of Speak Up Talk Radio. I'm local and vocal when it comes to healthcare safety. If you need a life-changing topic and speaker for your next event, call me, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com. Patient safety is your right, so don't go wrong. Let me share what I know with your group, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com. Well, there you have it, a crazy mix of bed bugs and car hazards all rolled into one show. And if you'd like to share today's program with a friend, visit speakupandstayalive.com or speakuptalkradio.com. And you can also subscribe and get the show emailed to you each week via iTunes or iHeartRadio. And if you need a speaker for your next event, I'd love to help. My presentations are fun, fast-paced, and life-changing. So call me and let's discuss the details. 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. From church groups to Kiwanis, hospitals to libraries, senior groups to associations of any kind, I have lots of healthcare and patient safety solutions to share with you. Visit speakupandstayalive.com or call me, 440-725-5462. Well, gotta say bye for now, but you know I will be back next week. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from bugs in your bed and radiation in your head. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.